Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Watching, welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity, going to live their lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by $1 Million Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and products page and click on $1 Million Business Pathway to get yourself started. So folks, are you guys ready for another amazing episode today? Joining me, I have the one and only Amy Carpenter. How you doing, Amy?
Hello, I'm well. Hi, Dr. Tommy.
Welcome to the show, Amy. I appreciate you being here. So, Amy, for the folks who may not necessarily know who you are, you want to briefly introduce yourself, please?
Sure. My name is Amy Carpenter, and I'm a psychotherapist and a youth advocate, and I currently am working towards helping young people, young adults and teenagers, understand how to prevent sexual assault, how to communicate their boundaries, and basically how to build healthy relationships in general.
Yes, so much that is very well needed. And hopefully that message gets across the country because a lot of our young people and adults need to learn that as well. So Amy, if folks want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
My website is the same name as the title of my books, and it is bestrongbewise.com. And you can find information there on the books and the programs, as well as how to get a hold of me. But my email, if interested, is amy@bestrongbewise.com.
Awesome. So folks, reach out to her, get these insights, and bring her in to help your folks, young people, make good decisions and make wise decisions. So Amy, as you know, our podcast really focuses on bringing amazing people like you on and having us kind of walk through one of your most difficult moments so our audience can kind of get a blueprint in terms of how to bounce back and navigate their own waters, you know, for themselves as well. So I'm gonna start my first question. What's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome personally or professionally?
Well, it's a great question. And there are a lot of different things I could say, but I would say for this podcast and for your listeners, because I know I'm not alone in having experienced this kind of story. The most challenging thing for me was going through the experience of having my own child be sexually assaulted while volunteering at a church soup kitchen. This was 2 years ago now.
Wow.
And the details of the assault, they're in my book. And she has given full permission for me to talk about it. As far as assaults go, there are far worse stories. And she knows that. And I know that. I'm a survivor myself. I was assaulted in childhood. So working with sexual trauma has been kind of in my wheelhouse and a focal point of my work for 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. Because I work primarily with women, I work with a lot of assault survivors. Yeah. And at the time of the Kavanaugh hearing, I was working on an article because my clients were really struggling with watching the Me Too movement happen and all the doors of secrecy break down and people beginning to share their story like they had never shared before. And then when the Kavanaugh hearing took place, it for survivors, it really felt as though that, you know, the balloon of hope just was suddenly deflated. And I began working on an article addressing the effects of trauma on the developing brain, because there's an assault every 92 seconds in our country currently, but half of all victims are between the ages of 18 and 34. And most of the people I've worked with were assaulted in young adulthood. And because the brain is still developing, there's like an imprint that happens. So I wanted to talk about that in this article, and I started working on it. And in the midst of writing it, this event happened at the church soup kitchen where my daughter was assaulted. And it was a particularly difficult story, not only because I was her mother, sure, but because it was a very preventable assault. Mm. There were 50 church soup kitchen attendees. there were three supervising teachers. There was a supervising priest. There were a lot of people there. There were 20 of her peers. Wow. And nobody really knew what to do when this young 17-year-old girl was in an uncomfortable position with somebody who was essentially grooming her. Wow. And what I learned in that aftermath, which was really emotionally devastating for me, because I had experienced trauma in all other ways, but never as a parent. Sure. And it just kind of took the rug out from underneath me. And I began to realize that, you know, looking at response is one half of the equation. We've got to do better by our young people as far as prevention.
Absolutely.
And that's when I started working on my book, and I found an amazing editor and an amazing publisher who helped me make it more accessible to the reader. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it tackles a lot of really hard things, like the fact that we actually can teach our young people ways of understanding risk that helps them, you know, navigate life with a little bit of a different lens that doesn't mean they have to miss any fun.
Right, absolutely.
It just helps them be informed. And I think we owe that to our young people. So as devastating as the assault against my daughter was, it catapulted me forward. And it's been something that she continues to inspire me as an individual, but the story inspires me as far as, you know, I don't want any parent to ever feel that way. Yeah. And no child, of course, should ever experience something like that either.
And Amy, I thank you so much for having the courage to share your story. I thank your daughter for having the courage to share her story. And I thank you guys for being able to make a learning moment out of that situation that was so horrific as well. So Amy, you know, one of my questions is, you know, for many of us out there listening, and myself, we're parents of young ladies and boys as well. When you receive some type of devastating news like that, what were some of the emotions that kind of went through your period? I mean, when you receive that type of information.
Yeah. Well, I think the number one emotional response was just powerlessness and rage.
Yeah.
I was filled with a lot of rage for a while there. And you know, I'm not new to emotions like anger. None of us are, but it was a different type of anger when you are, you know, responding to your child getting hurt. So, and you know, parents know there's nothing worse than that. We'd much rather it happen to us than to our kids.
Yes.
So I had to work through that. I had to take care of myself. I had to take care of my daughter and help her take all the steps necessary, which, by the way, she did pursue legal support, was able to file charges against the perpetrator. He was convicted. The church ended up revamping their volunteer program, and the school also revamped its volunteer program. So a lot of good things happened from a horrible experience. But for me as a parent, it took a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, until that powerlessness and anger began to kind of subside.
Yeah. And again, I thank you so much for being transparent and honest about that as well. You know, as you guys are going through this, did you have guides or mentors to kind of help you kind of facilitate those waters?
Yeah, I tend to, when I'm upset, I tend to, nature is my guide. I do. I'm a meditator and a yogi, and I do a lot of centering myself through my yoga practice and through my meditation, but I took a lot of long walks in the woods.
Sure.
Yeah. And I just, you know, listen to the birds and, you know, let nature kind of calm me. And I had some friends that, of course, were wonderful and just letting me talk and helping me process it. And, you know, when the time to really get to work happened, because once my anger subsided, I realized, like, I had such energy to do something about it, right? I'm sure you can relate to that, like just such energy. And I had to channel it some way. So I feel so grateful that I had the support of this great publishing team and editor that, you know, just let me tell my story.
Absolutely.
In my own words, in my own way, but led me through a process where people could really benefit from it.
That's awesome. And kudos to those publishers. We don't really think of them in that capacity of allowing us to tell our stories as being guides and mentors, but that is what really took place for you as well. So
yes.
I love it. you know, on your darkest day of going through this experience, what kept you guys motivated to keep going forward and say, we're going to turn this negative into something positive? Because again, there are a lot of families that may have, I've had a lot of guests on the show, unfortunately, who have had things like this happen to their kids, and it gets swept up under the rug and say, we'll kind of just close our eyes to it and just kind of move on. You guys did not do that. You guys stepped to plate and said, hey, we're going to do something about this. What kept you motivated to say, hey, we're going to do something different?
Well, there's a lot of different stages along the way that were kind of reminders of how important the work is. And as you say, people struggle with how to talk about it.
Sure.
So it's been difficult because of that. There's been like kind of many obstacles every step of the way because it's so uncomfortable. People don't want to think about it. They don't want to learn about it. They don't want to ask their kids to learn about it. So I've had to just kind of be persistent and show up.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that the time that I really felt most affirmed in what I've been doing is when I taught my first class to a group of teenagers.
Sure.
And it was so wonderful because, of course, I didn't know exactly what to expect, how they would respond. It was my first class, you know, but they loved talking about it. And the discussions were vibrant and engaging, and young people were sharing their personal stories in whole new ways. And I realized they're eager to talk about this stuff, right? Like they see how sex is displayed in the media and how relationships are portrayed in the media. And they're getting a lot of faulty messages there.
Absolutely.
And if we don't correct those faulty messages, then they're left with a lot of confusion. And usually, as teenagers do, acting out in order to figure out what the truth is for them.
Yes.
So it was really heartening to realize that they want to talk about this stuff. We just have to, as adults, get out of our own way and be more comfortable with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it. And I'm glad that was something that you guys pushed through as well. So, you know, as you look back on this situation here 2 years later, how would you say it shaped you as a person? How would you say it shaped your daughter and your family as well?
Well, I think for me, I mean, this whole journey, it's hard to separate one part out because it all feels connected, right? Like having gone through that, the horror of, you know, that powerlessness after her assault and then starting to change gears in my own career and starting to do the process of writing the books and then designing the safety education program. I guess for me, and I've had people say this, I feel like I'm more alive. and it's hard because of course that was a devastating thing that happened, but it also opened, it's like, you get your heart broken, you kind of put it back together in a new way.
Yes.
And I think that was my experience that, you know, there was this devastation, but then there was all of this incredible passion that is still present to this day. And I would say, and again, I want to just reiterate, the assault that my daughter went through was a fairly mild assault. And so she was spared some of the more devastating effects of trauma that I know a lot of survivors live with. And I'm grateful for that, but I also know from my own experience as a survivor that, you know, we've got to stay true to ourselves in the process of recovery. And there are ways to heal. There are ways to even heal the imprint that trauma has on the brain. So I don't think that my daughter was imprinted in that way, but what she learned is that she could advocate for herself. She talked to the police officer. She filed a report. She met with her teachers. She advocated for sexual assault prevention education in her high school. She learned, she grew herself up really quickly because she realized that she needed to. There was a part of her that was still naive. And so, you know, she rose to the occasion beautifully, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, so as you look back on your journey to healing, not necessarily the assault itself, but everything that took place afterwards, would there be anything you guys would do differently in terms of your process of healing?
Well, again, I mean, she now is at college. She's in her freshman year of college and she's loving life and doing well. Thank God we're through COVID. Yes. Not through COVID. I shouldn't say that. We're not through COVID, but a lot of people are vaccinated, so it's much less scary. So we've had somewhat different responses to it, right? I've kind of been really committed to this writing and designing this course and offering this course. And of course she, which is appropriate, is interested in launching her life and yeah. going to school and, you know, discovering who she wants to be. So I would say that, and I can't really speak to how she has assimilated everything in her journey, but for myself, again, I feel different. I feel like the process of starting this work and working with adults and young people around safety education, it has changed me.
Yes.
I feel like I've grown myself up in a way. I feel like there is an offering I'm utterly committed to. Absolutely. And that feels really powerful and beautiful in and of itself.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, Amy, you mentioned COVID. You know, we're coming off a year of 2020 where there have been a lot of folks out there, Amy, who have experienced a lot of losses, you know, loss of loved ones, loss of finances, loss of material possessions, loss of hope in many situations. What words of advice would you give those folks out there who are struggling to find the hope and see the good in another day to come?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it would be the same advice I would give for any hardship that anybody faces, whether it be globally or individually. Mm-hmm. And that is find what takes care of you. Yes. Find your self-care path. Find your way to connect with yourself most deeply. I talked about my yoga practice and meditation and nature. Those are my things. Those, I call them my mirrors, right? The people, places, or things that remind you of who you are at the core. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times these things are free.
Yes.
They're available any day, anytime. They are as simple as connecting with them more mindfully. Mm-hmm. And being aware that in that moment when you're connecting with your mirror, you're actually getting fed. You're giving your soul a little juice, a little jolt that, you know, is enough to get through the next challenge at hand. Yeah. Again, it's easier said than done. And we need a lot of things to get through times like this, like friends and family and laughter and, you know, all kinds of things. But I would say that core individual piece of finding our mirrors is really important.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's great advice for the folks out there listening. So folks, if you're out there and you're listening, you're going through some type of hardship, make sure you take this advice to heart as well. And Amy, very inspiring story. Thank you for having the courage to share it. If folks want to get a hold of you again, what's the best way to get a hold of you and what's the name of your book?
Okay. So the best way of getting hold of me is my website, bestrongbewise.com. And I've got two books under the same title. They both are titled Be Strong, Be Wise. The first one is written to and for young adults. And the subtitle is The Young Adult's Guide to Sexual Assault Awareness and Personal Safety. And the second book is written to and for caring adults, such as parents, teachers, or counselors that want to offer the 5-step curriculum to the young people they care about. And the subtitle for that book is 5 Easy Steps to Discussing Sexual Ethics with Teens.
That is awesome. I think it's going to be a blessing to a lot of folks out there. Your words are going to be a huge blessing and your story is going to be a huge blessing as well. So Amy, we talked about some tough stuff. Are you ready to have a little fun now?
Oh yeah, sure.
All right. So this portion of our show is called the Rapid Fire Purpose Questions. All right.
Okay.
What I'm going to do during this time, I'm going to ask you a number of questions. I'm not going to elaborate on any of the questions. I want you to give me and the audience your best response. All right.
Does it have to be like the first thing that I think of?
Your best response, either
okay.
way.
All right, sir. I will do that.
All right, Amy. So tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
I've always dreamed of being an author, and I've been a writer for as long as I can remember. And I wrote 2 books before I wrote my recent 2 books on sexual safety. So getting really determined about the mission with these 2 books catapulted me forward to claim myself as an author. Awesome. And be really committed to continuing to write.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah. What gives your life meaning?
I'm kind of, you know, I guess my publisher put it best. She said, you know, you have to have a servant's heart to do this work. And you have to care about making the world a bit better, making a difference. So that I think is something that I possess. Is I've been a social worker my whole life. I started in child welfare. I've started youth organizations. I've worked in high schools, and children and youth are my heart. So I would say having a servant's heart and being you know, filled with joy kind of when I get to work with kids especially has been really fun.
Awesome. What one word best describes you?
I guess I'm thinking about what people have said. I think perhaps like sunny. I've got kind of a sunny disposition, people have
good.
Said.
Yes. That's a good word to describe. Good. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Make believe. Very imaginative. Yeah. Being in the woods and playing make-believe.
Awesome. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Well, I, as you know, I want to make the world a safer place for young people so that the world that they're inheriting, which has a lot of issues and a lot of problems, they don't have the obstacle of sexual trauma getting in the way of doing everything that they can to make the world a better place.
Absolutely, I love it. What do you wish you had more time to do?
There are lots of things. First on my list would probably be write. I wish I had more time to write.
That's good. I like it. What is your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Oh, that's a great question. I think perhaps because I was writing at 15, perhaps she would have thought, because I was a little bit more traditionally minded at 15, I've become more liberally minded as I've grown older. I would think maybe I would at 15, well, I'll be parenting. I'll be like taking care of my family, you know, and anyway, which I've done all of that, but I don't know if a career was in my mindset at 15.
Sure, I love it. Who inspires you the most?
Oh, there's so many. I've had the benefit of being coached by Marianne Williamson. And when she prays with our group of authors, there is nothing like it. Wow. So I would say that hearing wisdom from somebody who's had a servant's heart and been committed to her work for 30 plus years is a true honor.
Yes.
So she's been an amazing mentor.
It's a great person there. What's something about yourself that we might be surprised to learn about you?
Well, what's coming up is that I'm actually quite shy. Okay. Wow. So it's I've been doing a lot of these kinds of interviews, as you can imagine, and I'm realizing that I actually really like it. I like to talk to folks like you that are making a difference and doing really amazing things, and it's just an honor to talk about this work and reach people if possible. But fundamentally, I actually am quite shy. So sometimes that's surprising to people.
Oh, I love it. I love it. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Well, I have family living in South Africa that I have wanted to go visit for at least 10 years.
Yes.
And we have a window of opportunity, my family, my husband and my daughter and I, to go this Christmas. Now we have no idea if the borders are going to be opened up. We don't know if the community there is going to be safe. We don't know, but I have a chance to offer this program to the youth in South Africa who awesome. Are working with my family, and that I'm just thrilled about. So I hope it happens.
Awesome. I love it. What's something you'll spend time doing no matter what?
No matter what, I will write. No matter what, I will stay committed to this process. And no matter what, I'll be doing my self-care because I can't survive without it. So, yeah. Absolutely.
What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
Oh, I think that that they got to spend a lot of time with me. That's what I want. Now there's a little selfishness in that answer, right? Because of course that's what I want too, but I would love it if right. I said.
Love it. If you were a superhero, Amy, what would your superpower be?
I think empathy.
What sparks your creativity?
People, okay. Especially young people, children and teens.
Yes. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
No guns.
Okay, good. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would follow Tarana Burke around for a day.
Okay.
She is continuing to run the Me Too movement in New York City, and she's amazing. And I quote her in my book, and she's the one who coined the term Me Too. And I would love to follow her around for a day.
Awesome. I love it. What do you love to do for others?
I love to connect and help people connect with themselves. That's why I went into my business as a psychotherapist and helping people work through understanding their feelings, why they're there, and how to heal them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What's been the best gift you've ever received?
Oh, golly. An education.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's one thing you have never been afraid to do?
One thing I've never been afraid to do. I don't think I've ever been afraid to love.
That's good. That's a good one. Yeah. What moment from your childhood, Amy, are you most proud of?
I don't know if proud is the right word, but I'll go with what's coming up. When I was 8 years old, I had my first spiritual experience. Again, it was in the woods. I was by myself in the woods in my backyard, very simple, just out there doing my imaginary games. And I had a very real experience of God's presence.
Mm.
And it was a bit of a moment of spiritual ecstasy, if you will. And that's happened several times since then, but that was the first time. And it really changed my relationship to spirit, to God, but also to the world. So I think that was the most impactful for sure.
Absolutely. I love it. What does success look like for you?
That's a really good question as well, because it makes you kind of think. Well, I think success is when as many people as possible can receive the benefit of learning about assault prevention and sexual safety and really how to have better relationships. The more people that learn that at a young age, the better.
Yes.
That would be success.
Yes. What are you most grateful for?
I'm most grateful for, again, and I think that connection with myself and with my mirrors. I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for basically the process of being led.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's an experience of surrendering to source energy, God, however you describe God in your life, it's a really powerful thing to watch what can happen when you just kind of let go of the reins. And sure. That has taken me, because I have a little bit of a control freak side to me. That took a while to get to. And when you could like really experience it, it's like, oh, wow, I guess I was never really in control in the first place.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes, it happens. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life, Amy?
I guess this is kind of in the same vein as what I was just saying, that to be humble,
mm-hmm.
to trust,
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, try not to make things a big deal. There's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be setbacks. There's always going to be obstacles, but just release and surrender, and you're more than halfway there.
Absolutely. Good. And last but not least, Amy, how do you want to be remembered in history?
Oh, I want to be remembered as somebody who was committed.
Hmm.
Yeah, and had a servant's heart all the way through.
Yes, I love it. Amy, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome. Great job, Amy.
Thank you.
Great responses, great answers. So I appreciate that big time there, Amy. So Amy, last thoughts here. The focal point of our podcast centers around two things. purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Love yourself every step of the way, in whatever way you can, in whatever way works for you. If you're trying to make those two things happen and you're trying to be resilient, you're trying to be purposeful, you got to love yourself every step of the way.
Yes, that is the gap between the two. I love it, Amy. Amy, again, if folks want to get in contact with you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Website is bestrongbewise.com. Email amy at bestrongbewise.com.
Awesome. Folks, reach out to Amy, get her book, bring her in, get our young people learning what it means to be strong and to be wise. I love it. I love it. I love it. Amy, thank you for being on. Folks out there, if you are someone who is an overcomer or with an amazing story, please go to tawatson.com and let us know your story. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. Again, Amy, thank you very much for joining us. Everyone else out there, peace, God bless, and deuces, everyone. See you soon.
Yours truly,
you have a great day.
Dr. Watson.
My story.